You know? Poodle said,
"You think I should?
I gotta go
I
pee."
I should be
and
responsible.
I said, "Go pee," and he said, "I just want to sit here. I'm comfortable." And so
I should be responsible for my own urination.
I'm not gonna tell. Yes, you're responsible for that. I'm not telling you when to pee. And guess what?
If 20 minutes,
you're gonna piss on that couch.
If 20,
you're, no, we're doing the show now.
If 20 minutes goes by, I'm just,
it's
and I need to go.
It's got enough pen stains anyway, so the urine will just blend in. Y'all, Poodle needs a new couch. He's a new couch.
It's not that bad. It's honestly not that bad.
I'm telling you, I've said this before. It looks like Smurfs have died or came
it
on
your
couch.
It does look like...
Hefty Smurfs just went, no, you Smurf me, you Smurf me.
It's not Smurfs. It's like Care Bears who like jizzed in their colors.
You know, Snorks.
Snorks.
Definitely Snorks.
What
Come
was the Snorks?
Along with the Snorks.
It wasn't good.
Along with the Snorks. There's so much to see waiting under the sea that you see twice.
I was going to say.
Yeah. Come along with the laugh along with the come along with the Snorks.
Who was the villain in the Snorks? I don't remember that show at all.
I think his name was Jimmy. I don't know. Welcome to Reality Gaze.
Welcome to Reality Gaze.
Our first Plathville episode with our
it's
new
our first
name.
Patreon.
First Patreon with the new
with
name.
With the new name.
I'm a little hot.
Yeah, you are.
Y'all, again, it's the new name. You should be getting your Patreon feeds.
It's
fine.
The same RSS feed.
That RSS feed actually did not change. The RSS feed, I think, still says none of your guys.
But you know what? No one. Don't tell Discovery.
Yeah, don't tell them shit.
They can suck my dick.
They can suck my dick. Riding on a train. You can ride that train on Dick Land.
On the Patreon, we can say anything we want because they're not paying for it. We know that. Even though they're worth like... $300 billion.
But they're so cheap, no one would pay $5 to listen to this shit. Even though they want us to pay $5
for
Discovery
Plus. Even though they want us to pay $5 for Discovery Plus, which I will keep dogging.
Yes.
Apparently, everything that's out there, you can watch all the home improvement shows, you can watch all the garbage. They say right now all the new stuff is not worth it. Almost everyone is.
I kind of would just want to see 90 Day Bears All. I want to see that.
I just want to get a fake torrent of it.
Oh, I need to see Tariq rap.
Oh, I saw a clip. You don't want to see
it. I do want to see it.
No. I'm an excellent rapper.
Yeah.
It's not good.
It's not good. But you know what was good? This episode.
Y'all.
I don't think we have any other announcements, right?
I barely breathed the entire episode. Oh, God. So this episode is the season finale of season 2, and it is called I Came to Say Goodbye.
I don't know what that song is.
I just made it up.
I liked it. I wrote I Came
it's to... because I'm a songwriter.
Well, I wrote probably what usually Poodle says when he says goodbye. Instead of say goodbye, I wrote I Came to Pay Goodbye.
I pay them not to contact me.
Time to say goodbye.
Sarah Brightman.
That poor person that commented.
Your time to say goodbye.
That poor person said, I really like this show. Sometimes there's too much singing. And I wrote,
sorry.
I wrote, fair. Can't be mad.
So people have come for us and saying it's very screechy.
Well.
I think that's calling out you, but that's okay.
We're both, gay men. One of us is older. It's going to be screechy.
I'm killing you with my mind right now.
Y'all, so episode
I wish 9. I wish I had you remember the scanners when they just exploded the person's head? I wish I could do that to this motherfucker. All right. So Micah, this is the only thing we see about it. Micah goes to Miami. He has a meeting with an agency. He looks gorgeous.
That's when you look gorgeous.
He photographs so well. Those cheekbones won't quit.
He is a model.
In person, he's not as hot.
No, but he changes his face.
Yeah.
Models change their good
it's
models.
It's like after you had
face.
Fillers.
Yes. Yeah.
But his results were better.
Or like when you've been with your mother too long and you secretly eat and you come back a little bloated.
Oh my. Is that how it's going to be? I have people come at me. I have people come at me all the time about how mean I am to you.
No, he won't be able to fuck it.
And it's because you make a big deal of it and I keep it real. And you laugh to diffuse it and they think that's it. But you're just as mean and nasty as I am.
Look, y'all.
Honestly, y'all, real truth here. Like, let's keep it real. She's just as mean and nasty as I am. She just says it with a smile on her face. That's it.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly.
Look, I know people worry because I think we were fussing on an episode of something.
Well, it's because, here, let me just
say
this.
But I was going to say this. Y'all, I'm fine. I'm fine.
And
I'm a
41-year-old
grown up. We're fine. I love myself and my life too much to do something with somebody I hate. I love this old crone.
And I love
and
her.
She loves this old crone.
And here's the thing,
What's that British show with what's his name? With the two gay men?
Who gives a fuck? What are you insane?
Isn't it called Vicious?
Oh, with Ian McKellen and Derek Jacobi.
That's us.
Here's the thing, y'all. When you hear us get heated at one another, that's real.
And guess what? Afterwards, we laugh.
And
tell a
real
dick joke.
Is fine.
Yeah.
And real is fine. That's life.
Like this show, which got fucking real.
Yeah.
And that's why it was good. It wasn't fake reality.
And I will be honest, especially, I just know me, when I'm the last one to throw something under the rug. I just can't do it. And so if he says something that either tweaks me the wrong way, I'm going to need to get it out. Otherwise, I can't continue with the podcast.
That's the truth.
Yeah. And then I'm
fine. Fix your mic condom.
Shut up.
His mic was, he was trying to be real serious, y'all, and his mic thing was askew the whole time, and it looked ridiculous.
Choked on his vodka. But here's the thing, guys.
God. You most have so many names to your men. You have like 7 books title.
Most of the time, it's just trying to get clarity on something. That's all I'm trying to get across.
I don't think it would be your memoir, but here's the thing. I feel like that would be like your 4th book. Here's the thing. And what would that book be about?
It would be about all the times people have tried to wrong me in my life.
Oh, whoa.
And then I start naming names.
I love that.
Oh. Ooh, y'all, that tell-all's going to be ugly. That tell-all's going to have a lot of lawsuits.
That's why. Well, I have a good contract by then. So, y'all, if you know it, if there's a chapter about fatty with 2 T's and IE,
mm-hmm.
That's me.
Don't flatter yourself. Honestly. I can deal with you without writing it in a book. In a book, Scott.
In a book, Scott.
Let's move on. So, Moriah.
So, yeah, he's in the agency. Moriah.
Moriah is in a recording studio in Tallahassee, sounds like the beginning of every country song. Mm-hmm. I was in a recording studio in Tallahassee, wearing neon green and high heels that I shouldn't have worn.
I got my hard red lipstick on. I'm ready for a fight. I wonder if this song will come out right or if it'll be tonight.
Y'all, in case you were wondering, she's still in the strawberry wine phase.
You know, somebody messaged us and they said, how come y'all don't come for her lip color and her makeup? And I will tell you, because we love her.
Yeah.
And like we said, this strawberry wine phase, again, I'm going to save skin
she's
and make
trying
this
it out.
Y'all have to think, Mariah may be 17, 18, but she's really 13, 14.
At the most. Yeah.
And when you were 13, 14, your mom took you to CVS or your gay dad.
Yeah.
Or maybe a straight dad, and you got Wet and Wild and you put shit on your face.
These kids might as well have been Amish.
Yeah.
So I'm not saying we should not read them. Her face paint is problematic.
But,
definitely.
But I'm telling you, give it.
She's gonna, but
4 years,
and she's gonna get a stylist, and the stylist is gonna say, "What the fuck are you doing?" And she's gonna go, "What do you mean? I like this." And the stylist is gonna say, "Stop, drop, and roll,
yeah.
And let me dress you. Yeah. Don't you touch your makeup for another year, and I'm gonna teach you how to do your makeup." Gay guy is going to teach her how to do everything.
Yeah,
yeah.
She's gonna become best friends with the gay guy named Tyler
or Jared.
Yeah, Jeremy.
God, I fucked so many Jeremys.
I did too. That was yoga guy who brought over his toothbrush.
That's true.
I wonder what he's doing now. Probably shouldn't look him up.
What he's doing now is tearing me apart, filling up my mind and emptying my heart. I can hear a call every time the cold wind blows. I wonder if he knows what she's doing now. I don't enjoy a high harmony on that. Just for future references.
I liked it.
It needed to go even higher, though. Like maybe fifth or sixth harmonies.
I liked it.
You know what? It doesn't matter. Because I'm saying my opinion. Doesn't matter what you think.
Exactly. That's what I say. Anyway, so she's recorded music with Corey, who I think I hope Corey's gay. She needs a good gay in her life. You're
right. I agree. I thought it was funny that Corey's seemingly sweating in the studio, and studios are always cold. So maybe Corey's done a couple lines before this.
Maybe.
I don't know what's
maybe they turned
on.
The air off.
But
maybe it's the lights from the shoot.
That could happen. Yeah.
Or maybe he's high.
Yeah.
I hope not. I don't think so.
I just know a lot of engineers who've done a lot of drugs.
Dang. They got to stay awake. So Mariah's music. We get to hear Mariah. This is a song, Dance in the Rain, that we heard that was written at another time in our life. Poodle.
Yeah.
I'm allowing you. You know what? Okay. It is 9:51.
Yeah.
I'll give you, maybe you need less, 2 minutes to rant about
her
voice.
I'm not going to need 2 minutes.
Okay. Go.
Here's the deal. Her voice is, it's very bluegrass mannered.
Yeah.
It's got a heavy vibrato that's not always bad.
Mm-hmm.
There is what I call labored production going on,
mm-hmm.
which means there's a little too much going on.
She's meaning she's working at it, trying mm-hmm. to sing, okay,
and or trying to sound like someone.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And that's very common with young singers, you guys.
Yeah,
that's even common with a young Whitney Houston, you know, or a young Beyonce. Later on, you develop your own style. It's too far back. It's too far back in her throat. Her voice.
Agreed.
Agreed. That's the biggest issue. And he said, your pitch is okay. I disagree. It's a little, because of her production, her vocal production, the pitch is slightly off.
Mm-hmm.
And she's desperately trying to be on pitch, which makes her production even more labored. I want to say, and she's like, I just want to make this really distinct. I want to make this really like stressed. Stick out, and I'm like, and
what does that mean?
And that's your problem. She's micromanaging her voice.
I bet that she is such a perfectionist and so hard on herself with her voice, because y'all, she's literally trying to find her actual
voice
in the world.
Yeah, I would You know what I would do? I would get her not to a track. I would get her to find the most vulnerable song and have her do it a cappella without track, without anything. And that would just be her kind of like cri de coeur, her soul out there. And then you would understand her true technique.
If Mariah came to you and wanted voice lessons, would you teach her?
Or
are you too close? Because you love her.
I would teach her. I would have to deprogram her a bit for what she thinks singing is. Because if you're going to join my church, y'all, you got to believe like I do. And it's not that I have a strict view of singing. It's there are certain elements of singing you need to accept.
Yeah.
To join my church. Yeah.
It's a good church, though.
Yeah, it's all about natural stuff and paying attention to your body instead of putting something out there that's outside yourself.
Yeah. I don't think she's thinking outside of herself. She is. Sure.
And that is the most common thing.
Yeah.
You know, what is she, 16, 17?
Yes.
Good Lord.
Oh, God.
I'd need a while. And especially with all the shit
she's had to go
through.
When I was 17, I just wanted everything to be perfect.
Exactly.
Everything to be perfect.
Because that was...
You know why? Because I was perfect. Because
you were a little fag.
If I never messed up, then I wasn't the little gay kid in the corner.
Exactly.
That never fit in.
Yeah, and that's just the beginning of your problems.
Yeah. Yeah. Then I realized at 21 I could take a good dick. And stuff got really spicy.
Yeah. And we weren't even talking about your speech patterns.
Yeah. It's true.
I think she could have a career. She needs to have someone needs to strip her of all the stuff that she thinks she knows about singing. And just about being
lyrics,
an artist.
Though.
Oh, she's a poet. I love her lyrics. Yeah, I agree. The voice is less interesting. So, but she needs to be taught to express her lyrics in a very honest way without thinking she needs to quote-unquote sound good.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes she writes songs to... She writes the melody to show off her voice.
Yep.
Not to just kind of compliment her lyrics.
I don't think she knows what her actual voice sounds like, and I've said that to a lot of people who've studied with me.
Oh, yeah.
And there have been times, and this is kind of getting real, but I'll say it anyway, where I'll hear someone for the first time and I will get chill bumps on my arm and I will know that's your actual voice. Mm. My body says it. And I don't argue with my body. Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, I don't argue with my body.
That's the truth.
But I'm saying when the hair on my arm stands up or when I kind of it settles in my body when someone makes a sound, I told someone that just 2 weeks ago. I said, I've been working with you for 3 years, every week. This is the first time I've heard your voice. Your actual voice. She promptly burst into tears. I wasn't needing that. I didn't expect that. But it was the truth. But it was because I was leveling with her in a way. And
they cry every week with Poodle.
And to me, that's my favorite part of being so honest.
Say, not because you're mean. You're
no,
not mean at all.
No.
You're not actually mean. You're a very kind teacher, actually. Very
but
supportive.
But I will never blow smoke up your ass.
But you're very honest.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, honest of getting people to an honest place.
Well,
anyway.
And even before I said it, I said... This is hard for me even to say.
I knew it would wake Poodle up when we started talking about Mariah's voice.
I said, this is hard even for me to say, and don't take this the wrong way, because it actually makes me emotional right now. But this is the first time I've heard your voice, and it really does something to me.
Mm.
And she just lost it.
How many times have you used that line with guys at a bar?
It doesn't work on them too well.
This is the first time I felt your dick in your pants, and it really does something to me.
And they're like, that's the third time someone said that tonight. Get away.
Anyway,
you're like a six.
If any of you want to take voice lessons with Poodle, sorry,
I'm
he's
full.
But we just gave you like the best commercial ever.
I can imagine someone saying, you're like a six. And I'm an eight.
Okay, let's.
I'm being generous.
Let's get to this. Let's get to the meat.
Ethan and Olivia. How dare you call me meat?
So Ethan is, please, get over there, meat. Poodle.
I wouldn't mind it.
¿Cómo se dice meat en español? Aquí, por favor.
Carne.
Carne. So anyway, he's looking through some cards. He said something that's really, I thought, poetic.
We're never going to finish this fucking episode.
He said, it feels like going through these cards with my younger siblings, it feels like a time capsule. And I realize, and it's like, and y'all, you think about that. When you see a time capsule, you're grateful for that time, but then also you're nostalgic and you miss something that you had before.
You miss what you lost.
Yeah. And I mean, we had the time capsule in Sullivan Park. It was a big deal. They installed that like in 1991.
I cannot relitigate this time capsule.
I know that Linda Brooks put a copy of the Lone Grove Ledger in there because I know that her husband Gary, he's dead now, but he had I think it was called like Gary's Musings, where he would do his opinion in the Lone Grove Ledger.
You're acting like I grew up with you.
Anyway. They did that. I think they did like a checkbook from First National Bank, and then there was like a bat from Pronto Print. They're closed.
A bat?
Because they would print like little bats that would say like Lone Grove,
like a baseball bat.
They would print on the bat for you. They would print on things.
This has become so tiresome.
Pronto Print closed. That's sad. Didn't make the time capsule.
Okay, we got to get to the point.
Please. I'm going to go to that time capsule and film it next time in Oklahoma.
I'm sure people will tune in.
Anyway.
Yeah, everyone out there collectively just said an anyway. So Ethan is basically saying, you know, I think I need to go see my parents. We should go see them. And hang out just a little bit with my siblings, because we're going to move from Cairo sooner or later. Cairo, Georgia, sooner or later. And it'd be nice to say goodbye. And I wrote down, who would have thought that Ethan would have almost as big of an arc as Moriah this season? But he has.
Really bigger.
I can see that.
Really bigger. Because, you know, you've said first episode, you know, sometimes we hit it like Married at First Sight. We said Alex, the first episode, she's going to cheat on her husband.
Yeah.
We were right. We've said, we could go through.
A blind squirrel finds a nut occasionally.
We could go through the litany. Some things we do say don't hit the mark, because I remember you said this and I went, oh my God, you are right. We both said Lydia's going to become the star of this season.
We were wrong.
We were wrong.
That's brutal. That is brutal. Maybe next season, when she turns like 17, she goes into her strawberry wine phase.
She's just sitting there in that closet, man in the moon.
Lord help me. That's just her like hitting her vag against the prayer
brutal.
Closet bench.
Oh,
I beg.
I'll never forget that. Mark my words, Lydia's going to be the star. And I mean,
we were wrong.
But we did not expect Ethan to make
such
an arc.
I did not expect it.
No, not at all.
So
God, and he is hot in his youth pastor clothes. He just does something to me.
I agree.
He's
kind of thin and like tight.
Yeah.
Muscular.
I mean, even Barry, you can tell, has a good body.
No.
You can tell he's fit.
I don't want you to ever say Barry and body again in my life.
Okay, fine. I won't. I'm just saying.
You've already talked about wanting to fuck Sean.
That was a moment. It's past.
And Barry. You've talked about how hot Barry was.
You know, he's horrible.
I need you to.
I think he would kill me after he fucked me.
I need you not to say anything anymore about either of those topics.
Fine.
So,
Ethan wants to go talk to his parents.
Yeah. And she's, Olivia's like, okay, but she's so traumatized.
Her face when he said it.
you know, and this is the thing, and they even said, you don't think it's a character flaw on your part? They basically blame everything that's gone wrong in their family on Olivia.
I think they do.
Yeah.
I agree with that. I think that it's interesting because we see some people in the squad, some people thought Ethan overstepped going to the house.
They're wrong.
And that they disrespected his parents. I have a theory about that. We're going to, when we get to that, I'll explain that. But yeah, they blame it all on Olivia.
Yep.
At all.
And he, Ethan comes up the door and said, you know, I just came to speak to you two. And all the kids are just watching. The parents can't even really tell the kids to, you know, go back. So he takes them, the parents out and says, you know, I'll make this short and sweet. We're moving. And there will still be no contact between us, but I'd like to say goodbye to you two and my siblings. And they're like, no emotion whatsoever, except for Papa Plath still's got this kind of smile on his face that I want to just smack off. Like and it's a goddamn Mardi Gras mask.
You know why? But I will say this. He will never admit this. Barry Plath is enraged.
Oh, yeah, he is.
He is so angry, but he will not let himself be angry.
So,
he's so angry because deep inside, he knows this is his fault.
Yeah. Maybe at the base level, but there are so many layers of self-righteousness.
That's exactly what I mean.
Yeah.
Like, if you talk to him for, like, hours and hours, but yes, there's so many layers of self-denial and self-righteousness that you have to dig through.
So,
be like a fucking Beetlejuice grave.
Exactly. He's basically saying, Ethan says, I don't know why you said these things to Olivia, and some of the biggest regrets I've ever had in my life was when you said things to her and I didn't say anything. And you demeaned and you made my wife feel bad.
And I think we know the tip of the iceberg.
I agree.
Of what was said. It almost alludes like things were said around town. Again, highly recommend the Kate Casey interview with Ethan and Olivia Platt.
They got into it. And you in that interview, you could hear they were still healing.
And
from
hurting.
What?
Yes.
Yes. Uh-huh.
Big
they were
time.
Still trying to get over it all, especially Olivia.
Yes.
Yeah.
And do I think that, I think, anyway, that's it. I just think that we don't know all of what was said. They're in a small town. It almost sounds like Barry even, it almost is like they alluded that they'd been bad-mouthing Olivia. We don't know. We don't know, but
yeah.
But you don't drive up to a house and have the reaction Olivia had of being terrified when she was afraid that he was going to park the car where they could see her.
Right.
You don't have that reaction unless you are traumatized.
That's a trauma response.
That is a trauma. That is not a normal response. And so I think that's why we know it.
And basically, so Papa Plath's like, well, you know, we really appreciate you coming over, and Ethan immediately responds and says, "Well, you know, you did say one of the last things you said to me was have a nice life living in bondage."
Yes.
And he's like, "Well, I mean, I wasn't trying to say like the bondage of unforgiveness, whatever that means."
No,
but
no, no.
Even if you did say have a nice life living in the bondage of unforgiveness. That is shitty, and fucking petty as fuck.
It is. Ethan
it's
even
very
says,
Mother Poodle because Mother Poodle said, "You know what? Have a good time. Like when not having my prescriptions when I go to Ingalls and have all of mine done there." It's a rage filled Mother Poodle rant.
And Ingalls is happy and scared to have her business.
Because you know what? If you don't serve her like she thinks she should be, she'll go somewhere else.
She'll go somewhere else. She'll drive to Greenville if she has to.
You know what? I wouldn't put it past her. Maybe Easley.
Maybe Easley. Ethan even says...
Powdersville.
Barry's like, well. And Ethan says, often when people say nasty things, It's the person that said the nasty thing doesn't remember it.
Oh.
But the person who heard it always remembers.
That was some truth fucking
that
talk.
That was some fucking Yonla Van Zant, Brene Brown, Maya Angelou, yeah. Fruity Loopies wisdom.
The kiwi, the pomegranate, the kumquat. If you haven't seen David Alan Greer doing Maya Angelou for Fruit Loops on a Saturday Night Live, or it may have been in Living Color.
It was in Living
I can't
Color.
Remember. But it still made me laugh. My sister's in a bowl.
It's so funny. It's so good.
The kiwi, the pomegranate, the kumquat.
These fruity loopies in a bowl.
We have a mutual friend named Drew Droke who does Chloe Sevigny. And he studied with Maya Angelou at the Governor School of the Arts. And one of his favorite quotes is saying, I had a class with Maya Angelou, and she was an asshole. And I will say, a lot of Maya Angelou's writing is absolutely beautiful, and we can take what she says. But it just reminds you that sometimes the people who say these things aren't always the best people.
Writers are not usually pleasant people.
No. I'll never forget when I heard him tell that story. She was the biggest asshole.
Drew Dog is
anyway.
So he does all this apology. Ethan kind of tells him this, and Barry says, well, I'm sorry I hurt you.
Ugh.
You guys, when someone says,
and he's smiling
I'm
at the
sorry
same time.
I hurt you in that way, or they say, I'm sorry you're upset, that means
I'm not sorry.
I'm not sorry. I don't fucking care. The smugness, and Barry's like, oh, it's just a misinterpret. It's such a bullshit response, and it's the same thing. Look, I know, but this is how I feel about this. I know your kids are adults. I know they might, and I'm not saying that you have to roll over and say your kids are right. I don't mean that at all. Parents need to have their boundaries. I don't care how old you are. This is my personal opinion, and this is a gay single man, or a gay man without kids. But as from a therapeutic
perspective. That you know of.
That I know of. But as from a therapeutic perspective of working with families, working with kids, working with people, I think there is always a part of a parent that needs to take ownership that they are the parent of the child. And you are not an equal. You were never an equal of your child. You are always a parent to that child. And meaning, as a parent, you should try to, like, comfort your child. And the fact that he is letting...
And you should be checking in with your child, not kind of exploiting his emotions.
And what if you were offended or upset by Ethan's response to this, y'all, you got to think of, Ethan kind of says it later in his conversation with Mariah and Micah, this is not just a year. This is years of trauma of beating him down and telling him
we will always be here for you.
And saying we'll always be here with you, but they don't say, but their actions say, as long as you agree with us and do exactly what we say.
Then we go through.
That's why it's a cult.
Then we go through this whole, like, can she not come up here? Well, can't they go to the car? But can she not come up here?
And Kim's like, I just want us to be all adults. That's what I'm trying to be, an adult. And I'm like, and you're then, the one that fucking whispered to Mariah, is this your boyfriend?
And then she said, this is my property.
This is my property.
These are my children.
My children.
Again.
Which she's right.
Using her children as bargaining chits.
Exactly.
To,
and then if I can tolerate her presence.
Oh, she's so awful.
She
then,
can tolerate mine.
And then as soon as she starts talking about it, Isaac says, Mommy, you're making it worse.
Yeah.
And so all the kids jump in and say, because all the kids know how temperature works, how to check the temperature of the situation.
Lydia's a puddle by now.
Oh,
bless
she's,
her.
She's devastated.
Back, she's in back just crying, sobbing. And so Barry says, yeah, yeah, well, we'll just have Olivia come over here. And Ethan says no. And he's like, well, then I'm going to go see her.
We'll walk down there. We'll walk down there.
And the way he said it is not nice. He said it. No. That's the only time we saw him have anger.
He said it because he's going to go down there and ruin whatever thing Ethan set up. And Ethan says...
That's his way of saying, I have power, you don't.
Ethan grabbed his father, y'all, and I got an erection.
It was hot. It was, and he basically looked.
Have you ever stood up to your dad, like in a setting where, like, you've been fighting, and you actually stood up to your father? You did something physical to your father.
No, and not to. I never have, and not because I was afraid to do it. Even though my father was physically a much bigger man than me at the time, I just never had to do it.
I'll never forget my father. Was saying something to me, and just we were fighting about something ridiculous, and I pushed my father. And as soon as I did it, I knew a line had been crossed. And my father almost took a swing at me. And I saw it in his eyes. And he saw it, and I saw it. And he immediately felt shame for it. It was terrifying.
Wow. So now, a lot of Poodle's life has been explained.
I think that's fathers and sons.
Yeah, I think that happens.
I think that's a rarity that you didn't experience that. Your brother probably did.
Maybe, you know, my father, probably more with my dad. Mm-hmm. Maybe because they would fight more. My dad and I just didn't fight a lot.
Because you were younger. Yeah.
I was younger. I was a second child.
My brother never fought with my dad.
Yeah.
Now they do, though.
I think there's a lot. Well, they worked. There's a lot of older son.
Yeah.
Oldest son, father stuff.
Yep.
That just.
That is the thing. That was between me and my dad.
Yeah.
Now we will fight. And it's a different kind of thing. He will always give up because I think he remembers that. Mm. Not physically. But I think part of him is always scared he'll get to that point. Because I know my dad would never hurt me physically.
No.
Yeah. I know my mother would never do that to me either. Even though what the hurt they'd done to me emotionally is way beyond that.
It's true.
And I will say, neither of them knew they were doing what they were trying to do. They did the best they could.
Our poor parents having us as little gay boys in the middle of them.
But just even having children. These are baby boomers who were dealt the shittiest hand of the world. Yeah. And my parents tried the best they could. And they are, to right now, they are problematic people. I'm aware of it.
Your brother turned out good.
I'm not saying we didn't. I'm saying they tried their best.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to look for, if I would have just looked for them to raise me and not look for the world to raise me,
mm-hmm.
I would not be where I am.
No, I think that's just, I agree with that. I had to do that too because I had to just search outside.
Yeah.
Because we didn't see ourselves and our parents at all.
Yeah. Y'all, you have to find more families than just your parents. You have to find families among your friends.
Because we're really tribal and like a bigger, not just...
You have to find families among your siblings. That's a family.
Yeah.
You have to find families among your new families with your husband or wives or partners and their families. Mm-hmm. And your partner and your friends. Mm-hmm. All those are families that we need to survive.
Mm-hmm.
You can't just have... And if the family you have, if your family unit, if your mother and father or your sibling units don't work out for you, there's plenty of other families. You just have to, we have to look and form them.
But we are coming from a very different perspective than a lot of people in that we were gay and we needed to move to do what we wanted to do in life. We had to move out of our towns. And I think this is such a good juxtaposition of what the Plass are going through with Mariah and Micah. I think I'm excited to see next season because I'm assuming.
I hope there's least, a next season. There oh, better be.
But the way they alluded is no one's going to live in the same town. Or the older kids aren't going to live by the parents anymore, yeah. probably.
The ratings have been good, you guys. So I'm almost certain there's going to be a season
but
three.
I think they haven't discovered that. Ethan and Olivia feel very alone in Cairo because that's where their family is. But they go to other places where they get their family of friends and that kind of yeah. thing. I think that'll be helpful
but
for them.
Basically, besides all that, he grabs Dad and says, and Isaac is like, guys, trying to defuse the situation. Lydia's breaking down. Mama Plath is...
Ethan just leaves. I mean, he said this isn't going to work, and he kind of gives all of them a hug.
And Mama Plath finally loses it. This is the first time we've seen Mama Plath actually lose it.
You see Libby is like screaming, sobbing at this point. And then they're crying. Ethan goes to leave, and he gets in the car, and they drive off, and Olivia says, I'm so sorry. That's your family, Ethan. And he said, it's just you and I now. She says, it's just us. And they drive off, and then Lydia looks at them and said, Is there any forgiveness for anyone anywhere? And I thought, what a poetic thing to say, in that it truly is. And then Barry even said later, he's like, you know, I handled that. What did he say?
What an asshole.
He said something like, you know, I potentially did something wrong. He will never admit that he did anything wrong. And boy, that the greatest gift you can give to your children is to tell them when you fucked up.
Yeah.
And show that you want to make it right.
The amount of time that Mother and Daddy Plath spend acting for the cameras is sickening.
Even when Ethan said that, when his dad was like, I'm so sorry. And Ethan said, yeah, you say that in front of the cameras.
Yeah.
Y'all, the producers were like...
Cam or Rachel, did you get that? Holy fuck, they're off script. They're off script.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening. I don't. This is amazing.
Basically, there's not a whole other ton left, you guys. Micah and Mariah and Ethan. Ethan is helping like with Mariah. They're just like working on his Chevy and
They are, and he's talking
Micah,
to the kids.
Micah comes home. This is all at Micah and Mariah's. And
he's wearing a tank top, and I forgot where I was for about five minutes. And then I felt Poodle slapping me, and he started to throw his alcohol at me. And then, and then he drank it and just looked at me.
Yeah, because
I
would never waste alcohol.
Kind of just blinking.
Anyway, Micah basically says, or Ethan says, yeah, Dad and I almost got into a fist fight. Basically, he recaps everything that happened. And Ethan tells them to tell the little girls that I love them and give them my love for me next time you see them, which is heartbreaking.
The kids were late. I mean, even Lydia said, too, she said that comment of it hurt. A part of me feels like Ethan picked Olivia over me. That's just young age, and she hasn't fallen in love with some.
But that also makes me admire him.
Admire him. Like, all of them, you guys, this is what I'm saying. It's not just, you can tell when talking to all the kids, the parents are in the wrong here.
And also,
big time.
The parents made a martyr out of Ethan to those kids as soon as they basically cut off contact with them.
Yeah.
Because Ethan was the source of mirth in that household.
And now he's the inspiration
exactly.
to all these kids of
martyrs.
What they, you know,
that's
saying,
what I'm saying.
Yeah, but I mean, of what the life they can have.
Yep. So the last little thing, you guys, is that Micah and Mariah show up at Mama and Daddy Plath's house. And they're telling the kids that Ethan loves them, and then they start talking about the little girls having coffee once a week, and I was like, "What the fuck?" You can't have soda, but you can have coffee.
Ooh, that sounds good. I want a soda.
But I'm saying they could not have.
No,
that.
They couldn't.
Yeah. Micah talks about his agency. They enjoy that, and he also mentions acting, and I was like, maybe don't quit your day job yet.
Hey, maybe he's a good actor. We don't know. I think there's a studio in San Diego called Estudio Code Côté de Chine. I'd love to see that.
Look up Cocky Boys, Micah. It's definitely a beginning for your acting career.
Definitely a beginning.
Yeah.
Especially in Halloween when they do a lot of their vampire shit.
Not a lot of dialogue.
Not a dialogue.
So,
no.
Mostly body work.
Physical. Think of it as like physical comedy, but no one's laughing.
But you're fucking guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Funny if you think about it.
It's a way to get your dick wet
in the business.
In the business.
Yeah.
And in some gay guy's asshole.
It's true.
Where were we? So she basically talks about Mariah says she wants to live near a big airport because she needs to be where the music industry is, and the Plaths are like, I want to see you perform. Mama Plath's like, she's like, even if it's in a bar, she's like, even so, because I just know I want to be there. My dream is like, you're doing amazing things.
You know what I think this is, actually? You know, Mariah says, they realize they made this mistakes with Ethan and Olivia. They're not doing that with us. Possibly. I think they are being overly generous to Micah and Mariah because they know it will get back to Ethan.
Yeah,
Olivia.
I also think that they, because they see what Micah and Mariah are doing, that they have influencer status and they could ride those coattails because they're fucking disgusting. Because y'all, I will say, Papa and Mama Plath never saw a nickel they didn't like.
That's true.
Love themselves some money.
The Lord provides.
Exactly. I want money. It's what I want.
It's never going to die on that one.
No.
Anyway, it means a lot to Mariah. She feels like there's support. It's very touching. And then, again, Mariah is such an adult because she said, well, I also want to bring up... Car, slow down. I also want to bring up the whole Ethan and Olivia thing. And she said... I love them a lot. I love you a lot. And both her and Mike are like, we don't want to be in the middle of this.
Right.
And we wish there could be some middle ground. And that's when Barry says, well, I probably made a mistake. You know, if I just, what harm would it have been for me to? I'm like, fuck you.
And you know who will never admit a mistake? Kim.
No, they both won't ever. Yeah. They both will never, ever admit any mistake. And Kim's like, she was saying, I'm just baffled. I'm baffled by this. If they had come over and said things respectfully, it might have been different. And I get it. He came with vitriol.
Yeah.
And he came with anger. But that was years of built up trauma.
But those two parents and that whole family needs so much family therapy and so much family dialogue of... Are you ready to speak your truth? And then everyone listens, and then no one gets to interrupt.
Because here's a yes.
Because no one ever does
and
that.
And it really goes back to, I keep going back, but it goes back to taking responsibility. And meaning, it's nobody's fault, but it's everybody's responsibility. Mm-hmm. And if these parents could, look.
Like there's no one to blame.
If you're the best parent in the fucking world, you're going to do something that's going to fuck up your kid.
Yeah,
just own that.
That's child raising.
That's human.
Yeah.
That's being a human and knowing that, wow, even though that wasn't my intention, that's not what I meant to do, that was really fucking hurtful and traumatic to do to my kid and to own that.
And I really believe, though, the more you're in dialogue with your kid, the less traumatic those things are.
Yes.
Like the more you talk about, yeah, I'm sorry. In other words,
like, boy, I fucked that up.
Yeah, I fucked that up. And then you reduce the importance of it.
Instead of the secret.
Yeah, instead of the secrets.
Secret builds shame and it makes things.
And shame is the cancer on all kids' self-esteems. I totally agree with you.
But you know what? Fuck it. Let's have a pie party.
So anyway, she's like, guys, I have a surprise for all the kids tonight. We're having shrimp, spanakopita, and pie. First of all, what kind of
menu
fucked up dinner party are you having?
I knew that you were going to take issue with this.
Anyway, I hope there were at least a salad or some vegetables.
I thought Barry was drinking for a second.
No, it was all Martinelli's.
Carl?
Oh, no.
Carl, is it New Year's? They're having my Martinelli's. They're on the plaza. Carl, you know that always gets me drunk. Carl, that Martinelli's.
She thinks it's...
Carl's wife thinks it's alcohol. That's all Carl will give her, because otherwise she'll call ex-boyfriends.
Shooter, wake me up before I drink too much Martinelli's.
Shooter, tell your daddy no more Martinelli's.
So, anyway, she, of course, gets a cream pie, pies Isaac in the face.
It did make Poodle and I's mouths drop. We were totally not expecting
it. I was not expecting it. I feel like this was a producer engagement. I just can't imagine she would ever think of this by herself. If she did, it's full-on dementia for her.
Yeah.
Anyway, they all throw... And then Papa Plath just pies himself in the face, which I find strange.
I mean, he's weird. He's weird, and I just...
This last little bit was annoying, I'll just be honest.
Yeah, I gave two shits about
that
part.
It felt very culty, and I wasn't really having it. But y'all, this is our favorite... I
loved it.
This is my favorite reality show.
Yeah, I loved it. I agree with you. For me, it felt... There's a difference of... We're walking in sadness. How do we find kind of the joy or the light moments in this sadness versus let's totally just ignore these things that's going on in life and just bulldoze our way blindly forward with love and joy.
I think as well it's they're like, but you know, everyone did wrong. We're always here if they want to come to us. Here,
which is their way of saying you did wrong. We did nothing.
Yeah, and we're waiting for you to say, I'm sorry. Y'all, if you have parents like this or if you have people in your life like this, please know that if you are constantly feeling bad around them, there is a reason.
Yes.
And if you're like, oh, something must be wrong with me that I always feel bad around my mom or I always feel bad around my dad or I always feel bad around my sister, it's not you. It is them.
It's them. I wish, man, I was walking, and so I didn't write it down, but there was in the podcast, the Brene Brown Unlocking Us that you're listening to right now with Dax Shepard.
Talking to me. He's talking to Tim Ferriss.
Yeah. Yeah, that Poodle's listening to. It's so good. It's a great, there's a lot of good quote unquotable, so to speak, but one basically, and I'm paraphrasing, but she said basically, or maybe Dax Shepard, basically talking about that, the people in your life that you see all the time in your life, kind of you become the average of those people and they form who you are. And so we think, okay, but not really the people at my work. I don't really like my job. Da, da, da. You know, not these negative people. No.
Yep.
Those people are forming you as a person.
They're the mean.
Yes. They are forming you. And so that hit me and I thought, actually it made me feel very lucky because I thought in my life, I don't really have any like negative people I wouldn't want in my life for the most part. But a lot of people can't say that.
I won't.
And with that, let's end the show.
I won't imagine you're staring right at me.
No, there's nobody. I love you, whore. Yeah,
I love you too.
So there you go, everybody.
Yo, that's the season. That's Plathville season two. You know, this has been an amazing season of this show.
It's been an amazing, like truly, and We've had the kind of the deepest conversations we've ever had.
I totally agree.
And I think it's because
with this show
is so well done, and it hits hard. It's family.
It hits us really hard because it's so coded about who we are.
What
the fuck is on your socks?
Christmas trees.
Well, okay.
You
got one more day of epiphany, bitch.
That's true.
Better get that over with.
That's why I did it now. My Apple Watch heard I love you, and it said, thank you. You're the wind beneath my wings.
Fuck you, Watch.
Fuck you, Watch.
You haven't done shit.
Not done shit. But you know what? Y'all have done more than shit in that y'all supported us all in 2020.
Thank you, guys. We actually, I don't know how much, if you guys know how much we appreciate our gatrons and your guys' gatronage.
It's true.
Because it has allowed, like, this bitch, his father's been sick this year, and the only way he would have gotten be able to pay for these flights is your Patreon.
I mean, thankfully, my cubicle job, I can work anywhere. So right now, with as my dad says, or as your father says, the corona.
My father says the cova.
The cova. My dad says the COVID. But it is helpful in that I'm probably going to buy a lot. Papa Mar took a turn for the worse, so I'm going to have to buy these last-minute flights. They're not cheap.
They're not.
So I appreciate that. Also, but mainly what I appreciate is just the community. Y'all really are starting to come at us in our Patreon comments.
I love our Patreon comments. They keep me laughing.
If you don't want to be in the Sissy Squad, even though we have fun in there and we love it, but a lot of you are like, oh, Facebook. That's fucking fine.
Our Patreon is on fire.
If you're a gatron for each show that you get an email about, there's a post and there's a comment in the post, whether you're on your app. And we also want to let people know, we'll start doing this week, I'm going to tell you. There's an additional platform that we can use that's like Patreon, because some of you...
I Supercast.
Yeah, Supercast.
But I thought we were going to do that in February.
Oh, we were?
Yeah,
we're
going to
do it now.
We can do it now, but we were talking about...
Oh, because we're doing so much right now.
Yeah, we were.
See, he calms me. He calms me, y'all.
I would say, you guys, wait till February because
had a stress out about it. I was like,
We have an additional platform besides Patreon that we are investigating. And I'm saying,
recommended by Cray Cray, actually.
Yes,
told us
and
this.
Look for us. Look for that in February.
That's when it was, because it's going to take. Thank you. Thank you.
I know. That's what I'm here for.
But we've had some of you that
you
literally...
You stress me the fuck out.
That would have burned Patreon. So that's okay if you don't like it.
And y'all, Patreon is like Titanic. It's the first. It's the biggest one. It's the ship of dreams. But it's got a lot of problems.
It does. Supercast is good. It's a little bit more formatted to podcasters.
Yep.
That said, if you like, if you're a Carl's wife and you don't want to change... We don't hate Patreon.
You don't
it's
need
great.
To do that. But if you're like, I hate Patreon with every fiber of my actual being, Supercast is for you.
We still don't know, too, if video is hosted on Supercast. So we've got to look into that.
Really?
We don't know. Again, we spoke about something before we did. But I got to go. It smells good in here.
It's my suit. Hung.
I know. Y'all know, that's not the name of his man pussy. It's really his soup. He's making soup.
It's my soup.
It's my soup.
All right, we gotta go.
All right, you guys. Do we have a sign off for this?
No.
Y'all, this is reality gaze, and we'll see you
next season. We'll see you next season of Plathville.